That's definitely how we're starting the podcast.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh my God.
Go ahead.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood pros have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into cinematic gold. I am your returning champion host, Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos, and I think I did a pretty good job while Freddie was away. I'm also a screenwriter.
I'm Matthew Arnold, still Star Wars fan first, and actually James Bond fan second, and now writer-director third.
Just not to you know, like, let people in on what's going on. I was just curious, Matt, what is your favorite Bond film?
It's probably still GoldenEye, though. From Russia with Love is up there, as is Spy Who Loved Me. So
okay, some yeah. Classics in there.
I would say my favorite is GoldenEye, also known as the only good one.
Oh, damn.
James Bond in Hot Taker.
Well, I think like many 12-year-old or 14-year-old boys, I got really into Bond. I think it was the thing I loved. I think my three biggest fan, like as a fanboy, it was Star Wars first, and then I think Bond was second, and then X-Files. But I will always remember, and my parents found it recently, and I'll have to bring it in, actually.
Oh, wait, what?
I think I've told you this. I had, at one point, there was like, at the library, there was this Bond encyclopedia, and I got obsessed with it. It was when GoldenEye was coming out. And then I decided I was going to write my own encyclopedia. It was
no
also when
way.
I wanted to be a novelist. So one of the first things I ever wrote is I wrote a James Bond encyclopedia. After every movie
How
I
many,
saw...
Okay. How many entries were in your James...
All of them. I did every movie, because I watched the movie, and then I would write the thoughts of it. I would write, like, who the Bond girl was. I'd write my review of it. I'd write, like, the gadgets.
And real quick, how old were you?
This was in I think like third or fourth grade, maybe fifth grade. And I got in trouble because I was doing it during school instead of paying attention. And then mm-hmm. the teacher was like, she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm doing this. I'm working on my encyclopedia. And then she like read through it. She's like, she's like, okay, you can't do this during class. I'm like, you put a lot of work into this. Like, this is very extensive. So very much loved. But I definitely got into spy stuff for a while, like Tom Clancy, and I wanted to be a spy.
Do you still have this encyclopedia?
My parents found, like, all of our stuff when they were, like, loading up, you know, like, they were moving and they were putting everything in storage, and they found all their binders, and my dad said something like, I found, like, all your, like, Star Wars stuff and your books you were writing, and then, like, this James Bond thing. I was like, that's my encyclopedia. So I'm pretty sure they have it, so I should go and try
okay,
to
try
it up.
Try and get it. We're gonna post shots of
we'll
this
post
to
some
the
pictures
website.
Of
yeah.
the
well,
James
I'll read
Bond
it to make sure it's not too embarrassing to be like.
Why would you ever be embarrassed by your James Bond hot takes, Matt? You've never been embarrassed by your hot takes in the past. Hey,
I don't know what I wrote when I was 14, so who knows? But yes, anyways, loved Bond growing up.
All these
up.
Women are rated by boob size.
That's strange.
Oh, nuts.
Oh, geez,
I was
guys.
A 12-year-old boy at one point.
Oh, jeez, guys.
All right.
Okay,
so what are we doing?
Guess what we're doing today, guys?
The James Bond X-Files Star Wars crossover. Matt, you're not even awake. This is your dream. Welcome to your beautiful, beautiful dream.
So
Matt.
This week we've decided, after crushing it pretty hard on Star Wars: The Last Jedi last week,
especially after seeing that trailer.
I felt like we did a. I think we were in the same wavelength as Ryan was a little bit there. We've decided to tempt fate once more with possibly the most challenging thing you can do, which is to do a young reboot of somebody. So we're not doing a James Bond movie. We're doing, what if James Bond was a kid?
Was a teen.
What if he was a teen?
Well, let's lay down
the
one.
Worst
Bond.
Kind of kid.
So this week on Story Break, Teen Bond. And gentlemen, the clock begins now.
Okay, so there's a few like core questions we have to get to be like, how are we doing Teen Bond? The first is, like, what is the world? Because I was thinking about this briefly last night, because I knew we've talked about doing Teen Bond for a while. I don't know why it came to me last night, because we weren't sure.
Just
we were
lying
doing
awake
this.
In a sweat, just thinking
but
about
no, I was just thinking, like,
Bond.
You don't want Teen Bond to be Detective Bond. Because I was thinking, like, right. Oh, what would Teen Bond do? It's like, no, it's not Veronica Mars. Like, he is definitely fighting ISIS or something. Like, that's what Bond would be doing. He'd be fighting the Russians. Like, Teen Bond is not Detective Bond. He's a spy.
Right.
So he's dealing with real world shit. So I think we have to ask ourselves, like,
to be fair, the only entry in kids who are spies, the Spy Kids franchise. Let's think, though, maybe we need to look to that.
I think,
but like, what is the world at? Like, what?
If I could give a brief history lesson in the world of teenage people named James Bond, we can consult the old cartoon James Bond Jr. Which James Bond Jr. is a fictional character described as the nephew of Ian Fleming's master spy, James Bond. So first of all, don't get me started on the fact that he's James Bond Jr., but he's his nephew. I don't know how that works. But yeah, there used to be this like Saturday morning cartoon show in the 90s with a young James Bond. I think, how did it work? Oh, God.
Well, there's also a novel series I'm reading right now called Young Bond.
You're in the middle of all of them. You're reading them.
I'm reading them right now. And actually, there's one that came out last year.
Young Bond Encyclopedia.
No, but Young Bond started in 2005, and it's still going. It was supposed to be 5 books, and then it was, I guess, popular enough.
It was such a smash hit.
But it feels like...
Well, I don't want to steal... We gotta come up with our own bespoke thing. Although, I do want to say 2 things about James Bond Jr., because this is very good. First of all, Q's grandson was named IQ. Which is very, very good. And then also the numerous villains in the series worked for an organization called SCUM, S.C.U.M. Short for Saboteurs and Criminals United in Mayhem. So the bar is pretty high. I'm just going to put that out there. Anyway, let's dive in. Let's get
really
weird.
Quick, you bringing that up puts me on a certain path, because if Bond was defined by, like, say, Cold War era villains and, like, the threat of, you know, nuclear war, right? A lot of the Bond movies are about, you know, they have nukes or they have some sort of world-ending device. Is a way that you could do this that, like, it's like what are teenagers good at? Like, what if it's all like
here,
social media and like hacking and like
here to me is the real challenge of doing James Bond as a teenager is that James Bond isn't so much a character as he is like a loose amalgam of things that men fantasize about doing. So right. Like James Bond is like, if you're like, what does James Bond do? It's like, well, he kills, he drinks, and he fucks. Like, what are the 3 things you can't have a teenage character do on television?
No, to be clear, those are all 3 things that Teen Bond should do.
I think Matt's dead on. In fact, if anything, teenagers have a greater, like, part of the reason why Bond is so appealing to teenagers is because he does those 3 things
so often.
So, no, I'm with Matt on this one. He has to. Like, otherwise, you're just, like, right? Like,
and if you want to feel more comfortable, you can also.
So, we're not doing, like, Saturday morning cartoons.
No.
This is teen. Wait, this is not Young Bond. This is Teen Bond.
It's not Young
Bond. What do you
Bond.
Think teenagers do? You're thinking about having kids someday, right?
I'm
thinking
about what I was like when I was teenagers.
Teen Bond is not us as teenagers.
James Bond. Okay, so here's first question: does he play alto or tenor sax in the concert band in his high school?
Does he maybe play a
clarinet in the marching band as well? He's got something going on with the drum major.
Was Teen Bond working on an X-Files encyclopedia or James Bond encyclopedia? What was Teen Bond doing during his teenage years?
Was Teen Bond saving up his money to buy soundtracks for Chrono Trigger or Final Fantasy?
So, Teen Bond and his 3 cool best friends, Teen Will, Teen Freddy, and Teen Matt.
So okay. I would say I would like to throw out a few what I think are ground rules for Teen Bond.
Okay.
This
Eight
is not
simple rules for dating my Teen Bond.
This is not like Bond. This is not. And, you know, as much as I like some of Daniel Craig's stuff, like, this is not Bond's son or Bond's nephew. It's Bond. It's just Bond. Like, there's no timeline between Sean Connery and Pierce Brosnan. They're just all Bond.
Now, which is it? Is it teen Sean Connery?
No, it's just Bond. It's just a new Bond. Yeah. His name is James Bond. He's a teenager.
Yeah, nobody looked at Pierce Brosnan and was like, wow, Bond got, like, suddenly de-aged magically. No, he is a timeless entity.
Okay.
This is a Bond for millennial teens, which is what everybody wanted.
Which is what the Broccoli's came to us, and they said, we need to hit these millennials.
So we're not, there is like some Bond lore on his life.
Like he was
and I'll be honest, when I was a big Bond fan, I tried reading in Fleming. I was a 14-year-old boy who liked the guns and the women. I read Bond, I was like, this is boring. I don't care about Ian Fleming's Bond. I read like a couple of the
books.
I don't
care about Bond's weird opinions on black people and women.
Yeah.
I'm just here for the gadgets.
For the gadgets and women I don't understand yet. I'm not into Ian Fleming's Bond. I don't know it very well.
Yeah, so we're not going to have him be like some brutish orphan
All right. So let's start with Bond the man and retro engineer a teenager, right? Is this a movie or is this a TV show?
Movie.
This
feels like a movie.
It's a movie. It's a franchise.
A movie franchise. Okay, no, movie franchise. Teen Bond.
And who cares what he is when he's 40? We don't know that. This is a fresh stone.
Are we saying, because it is younger Bond, is this set in like the 80s or 90s?
That was going to be what I was going to say. It's like, what's the timeline?
I think
it could
be
right now.
I think it has to be now.
It's now. Again, this is not Daniel Craig's Bond as a teenager. This is Bond.
I will say this, and again, we can't spend too much time dithering around the concept. I know we got to move forward. I will say this for it being period, is that I feel like if it's modern day, I'm like, but he's just Bond modern day. Like Indiana Jones, like it's like young Indiana Jones. It's like, oh yeah, back in yesteryear. And that's kind of like the fun of playing it is like the fun of like, you know.
But I can see that here would be my argument for that. Or at least like Bond is usually of now. And I know like, I don't know. I guess what I was trying to get to is like, are we just doing a Bond that we know as a teenager? Or are we just, this is the new Bond character? It's like, they're rebooting Bond. Daniel Craig left. Who's the new Bond? Surprise, it's hot 17-year-old whoever.
It's
and
Zac
it's teenage
Efron.
Bond. And it's like, okay, cool. As opposed to, because then you have to, I don't want to do like.
But now you're just saying, oh, we're doing a Bond movie, but he's 17 for some reason. You're not doing a prequel about the.
For you, here's what I would say. You are the one who has often said Bond is just pornography.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about the origin story of pornography. I want, what's pornography for teenagers?
here's again, just because this is a sticking point for me, is that it does feel like if it's teen Bond, it's Bond as a kid. Right? It's not, there's just a new James Bond and he's just 17 for no goddamn reason. Like, there's Bond as an adult. Here's what I mean. Here's what I get. Yeah. Like, in terms of the narrative, Bond as an adult is 007. He works for MI6. He fights bad guys. That's who he is as an adult.
Yeah.
And now we're doing a show about who this man was as a teenager.
But he's been from the 50s to the 2000s.
Yeah, but no, there's still got to be there's a canon. There's still just the concept of him as an adult as a human being. Like, I feel like just tantamount to the whole concept of a teenage Bond is like, he's like, is he still 007 at age 17? Like,
who knows? But the point is that it wouldn't matter if he's, you could still set it today. I mean, I don't get, I guess I'm not on the sticking, it's like, it's Bond is in all, it's weird.
Okay, all right.
I'm trying to get, it's weird for me to try to think of like, I mean, we could do an old-fashioned Bond. It just also seems like, I'll put it this way, it also feels like kind of, this is, it feels kind of cowardly to like not have to deal with today as a Bond. Like, it's like, sure, we could, it's 80s, it's Cold War, it's teen Bond, and then it's a PG-13 version of Bond.
I guess
in the Cold War.
No, but I mean, I guess it's just, it's a stumbling block to me that the conceit seems to be like, this is what Bond was like before Bond, but it's 2017 when I don't know.
But there is no Bond. Like, in terms of movies, it's a different Bond. It's like, is it before, then what Bond is it a teenager of?
It's, okay.
Yeah.
Imagine, close your eyes, and picture James Bond.
Okay.
Right? As he exists in, like, the platonic ideal of Bond, as he exists in 2017.
Right. But I think what
Now, you're imagining what would that guy be like as a 16-year-old, right? So, this guy's working for MI6 in 2017. He's probably in his 30s,
right,
so he was a teenager in the 90s.
Right, but I think Matt's point is that, like, if I imagine Sean Connery as is he a teenager during World War II, and it's about a World War II Bond?
Not, I mean,
that's my point, right? Like, it's like there's a spectrum. There's already a spectrum.
As far as a period setting for a Bond thing, doing it's 60s Bond and it's him as a teenager growing up and fighting the Nazis with the French Resistance, like, you got a movie there. I'm just going to put that down.
I mean, look, I was going to say, like, if we want him to, like, fucking shit, you can also make them, like, medieval ages Bond. And it's just like, he's 14 and he just got a castle or whatever.
All right. Anyway, I yield to the floor because
I'm down for World War II Bond. I think. You know what? Look, I fucking hate 80s and 90s nostalgia. I don't want to be like, oh, it's Bond today,
by the way,
but
teenager. Says the guy that we're like half of our episodes happen to be.
I know. It's like, look, we can do 80s, 90s Bond.
I'm not
it's
saying
just
we
GoldenEye Bond, but as a teenager. It's like, I think it's either. And to me, the fun of the conceit is Bond today as a teenager.
I think
so. It's either today as a teenager, or I do like World War II because that's fun too.
Will, I totally hear what you're saying because otherwise it just feels like, oh, it's just a sort of arbitrary adjective for a modern thing. However, I think there's a much richer vein of having to navigate the three things that Bond does
in the modern world.
Okay.
Is he YouTubing? Is he on the social? Is he fighting ISIS? Is
we
he
can
going
move
after
on. I do
hackers?
My final point I want to make about this. It's like if you did young Indiana Jones, but it was still set in World War II and he was fighting Nazis. Like, that's what seems confusing to me.
No, but I get it. The only problem is that that's fine, but Bond doesn't exist in the 1950s or 60s.
Right, there's
Bond
no, there
exists
is no,
from 50s to 2000s.
Okay. There is no modern Indiana Jones.
You know what, this is going to be the prequel for the Bond that is playing in 2030, which Bond will still be playing in 2030.
Right. Okay, so here we go. What is the threat? What is the...
This is causing me physical pain, but let's keep going.
It's causing me physical pain the other way. Fine. Let's do 80s.
No, it's so fine. Lame. No, we're doing it. We're doing it. We're moving on.
It's a teenager today.
Yeah.
Teenager
it
today.
It is a 16-year-old. He just got his car.
16.
Ooh, that's a good pilot. Okay. Or that's a good thing. It's
is
definitely
it an
he's turning
he got
six.
His he got an Aston Martin.
Yep. This is he's driving test. He hasn't
so
got his car yet.
He's a spoiled asshole basically. Yeah. Spoiled rich kid asshole.
Are we okay, he's rich. I'm fine with that. Okay, I definitely like
I will say era. That that reminds me in Tomorrow Never Dies when Michelle Yeoh, also best Bond girl ever, says he's like you're pretty good with that like chain, and she's like that comes from growing up in a rough neighborhood. And she's like you're pretty good on the bike, and he goes that comes from never growing up at all. So like I always love what that said about Bond, that he was like this kid who tooled around on motorcycles and stuff like that. Spoiled rich kid makes sense for me.
Okay, so he's six. I like that he's 16. He's just getting his car. Wait, dude, is that the driver's? Is this in?
It'd be
I mean,
the UK.
In,
it's got to be
UK, right?
He's in the UK.
I think it's.
Do you?
Ooh, is it 15 and 18? I think in the UK. I could be wrong. They're much more stringent about driving.
You could get your provisional license at 15 years and 9 months. So it's the same. According to law, you must be 17 to drive.
Yeah, there we go. There
okay,
is.
That's pretty good. So he's
okay. 17. All right. So
just turned 17,
and he's handsome and athletic.
He fucks, kills, and drinks.
Yes.
So does he have a okay. license to kill?
Okay. Well, we got it. Is this an origin story? Is my first question. Is this about how he becomes a spy?
Right. Well, that is a nice and easy arc for it.
But it is also fun just to like come but in here with Team Bond.
Because like, I agree. If we're gonna do it, I don't want to do it as
like,
bad.
Those
as
are knows not an origin story.
Because like, there's also a world where like MI6 is like in the the wake of increasing cyber threats. Like they're actually recruiting much younger than they ever have, and it's a secret organization to recruit teenagers because no one would suspect a teenager to be
no
able
one
to do all those.
Suspect a cool ass teen.
Yeah, I'd rather just do like an intro of him in school and he's just a normal teen. And
but
then
he's
he gets
leading
picked
a
up,
double
and everybody's
life.
Like, oh, he got picked up by his dad. And then everybody, he turns off a different street and then goes down into like a
secret
lair.
Yeah, he's leading
lair.
Like a double
it's like,
life.
Oh, this
a
is actually
bit.
Bond.
So he's a child soldier. That's what you're
yeah,
saying.
Yes,
he's a child soldier.
But why do they need him? Okay, because it would be, yeah, there is.
Why teenagers have certain advantages.
Social media. He knows the internet. He knows there's like, so yeah, they need a teen.
They need a teen. Why would they need a teen, right? Like, yeah.
You know, it's 2017 and adults understand how to use the internet, right?
Some.
Not as good as teens do.
Okay, all right.
How do you Snapchat, Will?
You download Snapchat and then you take a little goofy
videos. Okay,
let's
just stop. In the Snapchat app, when you swipe to the left, what happens?
It snaps the chat.
Ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So because here's the thing, right?
This
they're
is
not,
gonna be
they're
very
definitely
hard.
Not they're not definitely not sending him to the, the fancy mansion parties in Monaco, right? But what but they could send him in. Okay, here's what
No, but here's what they could do. It's like, okay, but sure. They can't send him to the fancy mansion party, but you know what's another way to get to? Let's just pick, what's another way
Blofeld,
to get to
right?
Putin or somebody? It's like, how about Putin's kid?
How about Putin's fucking kid?
So, it's like he would
he has to go party with.
Yeah, it's like he would be doing this stuff. It's like all these people have kids. Like a lot
and
of them have
and
kids.
And that's the vector of attack they would never suspect.
Exactly. So he's going to, he flies to, Monaco and goes to some,
and of
like,
course, he's this well-groomed English aristocrat who speaks like six languages.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But do you know why?
It would be one of these, because you could also do he's 18. If we wanted to do and then
university.
It would be
Well, what I was going to say is how about you make him prude 17? And actually, the fun of it is that he goes to all these crazy ragers and parties and former Soviet Union, Russia, Monaco.
Oligarch.
But he's always got a lie. It's the drink he's got is a virgin drink because he doesn't want to actually drink because he's too young to drink. And when it goes to the girls, he respects them. And he doesn't do it.
Straight edge.
Straight edge. It's Bond.
Straight edge team.
Sorry,
Bond.
You need to get to the bottom of the straight edge program.
And they're always like, Bond, fuck Putin's daughter.
Oh my God, straight edge is a global conspiracy to convince teens to not be cool.
Oh,
by putting this X on you, by touching the center of this X on the back of your hand, Bond.
007, look at this tattoo of an X. It's the same we saw on the goon in Marrakesh. What does it mean?
But I like this vector of he's this regular, right? This sort of globe. I don't know why I have this image, but the
Bond,
idea of him.
Six lame ass teams have died across the world from not getting laid and drinking. You have to get to the bottom of it. Okay.
Well, in my head, I have this image of him being we need you to infiltrate this dope beach party in Ibiza. And Bond's got to
I like the idea of him. He's going to have to go, like hang out with the kid again, like you see, because you see these like again, there was this whole thing where like the kids of Colombian drug lords like just post like that they're fucking getting their parents busted for shit because they're just like posing with huge stacks of money on their yachts and stuff like that. So I like the idea of Bond having to infiltrate like this group, like this social circle, right? And he shows up as like, you know, his undercover identity is gonna be like, you know, like one of them wants writing lessons. Get it? he's gonna be like, again, that would be like, here's the, he's gonna teach you English, right? Yeah. He comes in as the English teacher like, because they're trying to figure out, and meanwhile, he's gotta be behind the scenes karate chop. It's kind of like a 21 Jump Street meets James Bond.
So I would, let me ask what you two, what you think of this. And I could go either way, but this comes from, one of the things we were talking about was like, I'm trying to think, because I get the, I think one of the reasons you're so worried about Team Bond is like, again, it's like, killing, fucking, and drinking as a teenager, right? Okay, there is a world where, bear with me, if you want to do, like,
I'm
also
so
meta...
friggin' lame.
I know, but
like,
so...
I want to do something responsible for the teens that are going
to
watch this.
So, look, there's two options. I think we have to go either way. Either it is Bond as a teenager, and Bond is a killer, fucker, and drinker, right? Mm-hmm. Or do we do, and this will probably lose half the audience immediately, including Brian and Latrice right now, but do you do what you wanted to do at one point, was like, is this just like a fucking woke millennial teenage James Bond, and he works with this fucking dinosaur corporation, and all the time they're like, all right, go in there, lay the daughter of this like drug lord, drink and infiltrate and fuck everybody in sight and then kill them all. He's like, that is horrible. Like, no, I'm going to go in
these
there. I'm going to teach him English. I'm going to drink responsibly. I'm going to care about feelings.
We can get into the whys and wherefores of how much Bond is doing, whatever. But I want to tether to the concept.
Well, I was gonna say, like, what is his? Okay,
well, how does he feel about it? Right?
Yeah. Is it forgotten country? Like, what
look,
is?
I just
what is
I don't
ethos?
Look. This is your like you're off. You're doing calculus before we figured out the algebra. Okay. Let me just like let's talk about the fucking character and where he's from. Like,
that's what I was trying to get to. His character.
Just bear with me. Just bear with me for a second. Like in terms of like just his aura. Like, what is his deal? Where does he go to school? Like, whatever. Bear with me. Just for a second. You do like he is at this. Okay, I'm imagining this British boarding school. Like you're sort of like, you know, stuffy, you know, whatever, right? And he's either a troubled youth who has rich parents, or again, you could even go with the orphan thing that he's an orphan, and then his uncle takes care of this trust fund for him, and the family has sent him off to a boarding school, right? And he's kind of like this, you know, brooding dude or whatever. My thought was like, do you do like at the boarding school, like the dean? Or, like, there is, like, the head of the history department is, like, an MI6 agent or something like that. Or he's ex-MI6. He's, like, Jean-Luc Carré or, like, one of the Kingsmen or something right? Mm-hmm. And he sees something in this young man, and he's like, I have, like, an extracurricular program I'd like you to try out for. It's like there's a foreign exchange you know what I mean? Like, do you play the collegiate thing as, like, how part of how he gets this mission or something like that? I don't know.
I can see that. It starts to feel a little
Kingsman-y. It does feel like, I don't want it to just be Kingsman, although Kingsman, I think, did a young... Actually, if you were to look at something that did basically teenage James Bond, Kingsman's a pretty good example.
Yeah. Kingsman is essentially... Yeah, he's... how old is he? He's like a little older, but yeah, they did essentially...
Yeah, he's like 20.
Rebellion
19. Ruth,
youth James Bond. Well, I was trying to get to, I think you need to know who. Look, like original Bond is a product of the Cold War. It is for God and country. It is for the essentially the colonial empire of the UK, and that is worth preserving at all costs. And he will take down enemies like foreign enemies and protect the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I think whenever you talk about rebooting Bond, I actually think that core ethos is like the first thing they like need to address. Like when they did the Dalton films, they kind of had to be like, it's post-Cold War, License to Kill, they made it grittier, and it was like this like kind of gray moral area, like what does America do after the Cold War, and it's definitely kind of more American-centric. When you get into GoldenEye, like we were just watching the GoldenEye trailer, it's essentially like you're an old dinosaur, and it becomes like, again, a lot of those, it's like the media in Tomorrow Never Dies, and it becomes like protecting kind of world order, because the Cold War was like trying to like stop the world from falling apart. After the Cold War, it becomes Bond is more like protecting the world order at all costs. Yeah. So like I was just trying to think like what is...
And then the Daniel Craig movies are about absolutely fucking nothing.
The Daniel Craig movies are
they
about...
They don't have the guts to deal with terrorism, the elephant in the room of every Daniel Craig post 9/11 James Bond movie is like, huh?
The Daniel Craig
movies
are like,
now?
Are like desperately trying to like apologize for being sexist or something. Like they're just like weird origin. That's why they've done an origin story four times.
Yeah.
Casino Royale is pretty good. until like the last 40 minutes.
Okay, anyway.
So what I was trying to get to is like, and that's what I was trying to get to with like the ethos, like what is teen Bond, like Bond only works if he's a gun you point at something. Like he believes in a single thing, and that's why he's he can't be stopped. That's like the great thing about Goldeneye. Like that's why Trevelyan is such a good bad guy for Bond. It's like he makes him question it. Like he's like
his patriotism. Yeah.
So like young Bond, and again, I think we're in a time period where like nationalism is scary again, and like patriotism is like a kind of a dirty word at times. But I don't think, you know, I think there's something, but you can still make a hero in that regard. It's like, what is teen Bond today? What would that be? And I was trying to get like, what is his ethos? Like, what does he want to protect? Like, why does he care about this stuff? Like, what is it that he wants to preserve? What is he trying to fight?
Yeah, what is the larger global scale like thing that he's fighting?
But it's also just, again, you don't want it to just be an action movie that doesn't deal with his youth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't feel like it's from the kind. Again, that's my only worry about, like, it's like he goes off to wherever and now he's just in a Bond movie, but he's 17. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is like.
Yeah, which is what I think Matt's trying to get at, which is what is this core belief? What is this core order versus disorder thing? Conflict.
I think one of the most fun, and I think one of the ways to play that conceit is like having a double life. Right? Because you could say, like, Kingsman is essentially a good teen Bond, but like, you know, essentially it's not a teen movie by the end. Like,
yeah, he's just a spy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just a spy. So I think.
So we want to go with like he's a normal teenager.
I think a double life will be like the most consistent way, assuming this is a huge franchise and you need to just keep making them. It's the easiest way probably to keep the teen aspect of it.
So now, he's like Spider-Man almost.
Yeah, do his parents not know? Maybe that's his parents.
Spy.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit.
Man.
Spider.
Okay, I'm canceling the podcast forever. Okay. Like, that's so bad. Oh, my God. That's one of the worst ones you've ever come up with.
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't great.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, okay. My God.
Okay. So bad. Bear with me. If his parents don't. Okay. Spectre is his dad, and he doesn't know bad guys.
That's not bad, because I think that does even speak to a little bit the idea of the conflict in the world being very much like, it does feel sometimes, right, like it's a millennial versus everybody else sort of thing, right?
I don't know about making it his dad.
Yeah.
Like, make it the principal.
Okay, no, school's even cooler.
You
okay.
know what I mean? Like, the headmaster is Blofeld. Do you know what I mean? And then you start it at the school level. Like, and that way it's keeping the conflict, you know what I mean? Or something like that.
Well, I was going to say, it's like, this is, by the way, like, fighting Spectre is like movie 4 of our great franchise. Yeah, like, you're constantly hinting at, like, that there is a greater thing here. I like the double life thing.
Yeah.
I like that his parents don't know he's Bond. Because again, that gives you right. That's the sneaking.
They know he's Bond. He's their
son. Sure. They don't know. They don't know.
But they know him as James.
They don't know he's MI6 first, only, and most important teen super spy.
We've started the teenage super spy program.
Okay. All right. Is that what we're saying? It is. Is that he is a okay
son? We are giving you the license.
I don't think I've ever
kill.
Seen Will less on board with a thing.
I am just I. I'm trying to yes and I'm trying to be a cool happening member of this podcast right now, but I'm struggling with this idea. So MI6 has this secret, super secret teenage spy named James Bond.
Yes.
Am I allowed to just say that I think that's dumb? Like, I don't have anything better. I'm just trying to, like,
I just don't know.
Because there's threats in the world.
I think you need to get on board with the Bond train. I know you hate Bond. But, like, yes, he's a spy. Like, that's what the conceit is.
I'm just like, why does MI6 have, all right. And
because
I just
there
know,
are
like,
threats
just,
in the world.
All right,
because there are threats in the world that cannot be attacked in the conventional means anymore. And they're desperate. And in order to do that, they're going through vectors of youth. Because that's the direction that the Russian oligarchs and the shadowy cabals are not expecting.
Here's let me take a run at this. I think I'm finally getting what you're trying to do with going to the backlash. Teenagers, like young kids, one teen stuff is read by like 12-year-olds. Like you always read an age up. Middle schoolers read high school stuff. High schoolers read college stuff. A teenager doesn't give a shit about normal James Bond back in the day. And neither do adults. Like, I don't care what James Bond, I don't care how he became a spy. What young adult novels are is sexy unicorn boy. It is the kid is actually recruited by the CIA and is a 14-year-old. Like,
okay, yeah, but they give you he's recruited by the CIA. Like, I don't, like, here's what I guess, here's just, like, this is a massive pill you were expecting me to swallow in the audience. And again, James Bond is campy, but, like, increasingly, like, it has the veneer of authenticity to it at times. Like, why does MI6 have a teenage spy? And Snapchat is not an answer. Like, that's what I'm trying to get, like, it's, like, is, like, the...
It would be, so I think you would do infiltrating, like, you would, yes, they would do that, they have to get to... they infiltrate the, yes, the Colombian drug lord's like kid is deeply involved in this. Or they needed him to befriend. They need him to go to a boarding school in Colombia.
Yeah, because like
and befriend Kim Jong, the drug lords.
Kim Jong Il got right, like Kim Jong Un got sent to an international school. So it's like, great, here's North Korea. We need to get in there. We need to get the information.
Okay.
Here's our vector in. It's his kid in this international school
okay,
in Norway.
Okay, so all right. Sure. Yes. Fine. So working backwards from that, so they have this teenager who is, he's got, again, like I'm just trying to build a scenario where this makes any sense whatsoever and like where that you can grow a character from essentially. Like, because immediately my question is like, where are his parents? And like, I'm like, is he going off to do this on the weekends? Does he go to school? Like, what is the nature of this double life? Like, I don't like, especially if he's like going off to different countries to infiltrate and stuff like that. Like, that doesn't seem like someone who's like holding down, who's going to math class the next day.
I think
he would go, his double life would be when he's undercover on these various jobs or whatever. Like, yeah, he would be masquerading as a foreign exchange student or as, again, like the English tutor or as, you know, like the, you know, the spoiled son of a, you know, Russian oligarch or something like that. And that would be his double life. But like, I don't get that he has like a normal teen life where he's going to keggers or whatever. That just doesn't, it just doesn't jibe with like him going off for months at a time to do international entry.
You're right. I mean, maybe he doesn't have a double.
Yeah, the easy answer to that is basically, right, it's like it's orphan. They brought him in. He actually doesn't know what regular teenage life is because they've been training him to be able to do this sort of stuff. And so, right, like that's an easy way of being like, yeah, he's not traditional normal life teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, I think one of the hard things about the way we work or even like this is like, I was trying to think of like us liking Skyfall, and then like Dalton was like, I don't like Skyfall. And I think like if you're doing the character tree of Bond, the difficulty is like he's not a good character, but it's why Bond works. Bond is a good character because Bond is literally place everything in your id that you actually want to be, and that is Bond. Like Bond isn't some troubled kid who's like all the Bonds are at their worst when they try to do something with Bond as a character. Like Bond is perfect. Bond is smart, he's gorgeous. Women love him. He drinks everything he wants. And he goes on a mission.
And drives fast cars and plays with gadgets.
He drives fast cars. And the fun of Bond is that he's doing it for, quote unquote, the right reasons. You're on board with it. And then the most interesting characters are like the bad guys are real threats. And then preferably the best Bonds. Like when I look at why I like Goldeneye from Russia with Love and Spy Who Loved Me, is those are all have the best Bond girls who are, it's either like a romance of sorts or they're just an interesting character. But if you do, like I was looking at the response
sure.
of young
okay.
Bond.
So, okay, fine.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
then. So what? I guess I'm just I'm lost on what that means as far as him being like, what does him being a teenager have to do with that? Like, and like, how do we?
I'm just
a little lost.
See, what that says to me then is we should figure out what are the other pieces of this. What is the Bond girl? What is the villain in this universe that play for the teenage side? Because the rest of it seems like it falls into place, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Because
it is power fantasy. It is. It's pornography. It's power fantasy. So build the universe around it so that.
I guess this is what I would push back on is that I think once you throw something like now he's a teenager into the mix, you are changing that power fantasy because
not for preteens, right?
Okay,
not
so
for,
we're saying this is like a young adult novel.
So what's the perfect yes? What is the ultimate dream of a high school? Like of a high school? Like if you're like I'm gonna go if I was James Bond in high school and I was a 14-year-old boy, I was like man, I wish I was James Bond in high school. What would James Bond in high school be?
It would be that you don't have parents and you live at MI6 and you go on these cool missions to go wherever and here's your gadgets and here's your shit and you're doing X, Y, and Z, right? But
yes.
Deep down, you're lonely because you don't have a family. And then you would do his conflict if you're going to have it because I do think you need character conflict. And again, I do think GoldenEye is the best one and it's the best one because it's got a good character conflict story. He's got to go against his friend.
Yeah.
Your conflict would be something, again, it's like the drug lord and he, falls in love with the girl, right? And
yes.
And it's then if he is accepted into this person's family, but he's conflicted. Again, it's sort of family versus duty and mission and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like that. And that's why I like the idea that the Bond girl, like, lack of a better term, the Bond girls work the best when, yes, they present. Because it's not just, it's his friend, but it's also Xenia's Yeah, it's Xenia. No, Xenia's the crazy one.
Natalia.
Natalia's a good Bond. Like, She's good for a few reasons. One, she actually pushes back against Bond. She's got the famous line, "Boys with toys." But she's smart, and they have a pretty like nice romance that actually works pretty well. But also points out like Bond is this old dinosaur who's purposeless, and Natalia like he grows. Natalia grows to appreciate him. Again, it's a very one-sided Bond story, but that's definitely better than like something like Diamonds Are Forever or something where it's just like the Bond girl's like here. So like Spy Who Loved Me is also like. In Spy Who Loved Me, Bond finds a woman who's essentially another Bond. And again, it works because it's like Bond is lonely. So I like the idea of like, yes, the fantasy is you don't have parents. You don't have to worry about school. Like you do, he misses tests and MI6, of course, takes care of his grades. He gets straight A's, doesn't have to deal with it and stuff like that. If he like misses stuff and things like that, the principal secretly hates him. And what the fun would be like, the principal's always on to him. He's like, who's this guy? And the school's, and school's like, and again, it's like, it's a little bit questionable that they have this Bond. I like the idea that, again, this teenage Bond is probably illegal. So, like, MI6 has to keep him hidden.
Well, they would put him through the school system in order to socialize him properly, right?
But I like that the character conflict is, like, yes, when he goes and infiltrates, like, yes, he finds the Colombian drug lord's family. And then, of course, the daughter is somebody who he likes, and he has a friend now. And he finds friends instead of lovers.
I think, all right, if I'm tuning into my 12-year-old brain,
I would do that.
Bond, again, I think he goes to this boarding school or whatever, but he is anonymous in the school.
Mm-hmm.
He is just another face in the crowd, just another perfectly chiseled face in the crowd or whatever. But he doesn't have friends. He doesn't have a lot of attachments. And you do, you know, like, again, because it's like his Monday. And when he's not being tapped for a mission, right? Yeah. Like, he has this life.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get close to anybody, and he, you know, trains, you know, in his spare time or whatever, and he goes to class, and then you would do, again, it's like, he opens up his algebra textbook, and there's a note in there, or he opens up his locker, or, like, you know, like, he gets a dead drop at the school, right? Like, someone comes, and then you would even do, like, if I was doing this as a series, you would do, there's, like, again, because this is the normal life that he can't have.
Yeah, you do, like, somebody's asking him to something.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, he tries to stay distant from people.
Yeah.
But then it's also that thing, like, he would see the kid getting bullied and want to do something about it. So he's kind of like this mysterious loner at his school, because meanwhile he's doing all this secret agent stuff and he can't get close to people because he doesn't want them to get hurt or find out. And like, if I open up to them, blah, 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 blah. Right.
Yeah.
But then the drama would be finding interesting ways for that to intersect.
Yeah.
The bad guy finds out his secret cover or again, like, he's in Cairo, you know, doing whatever, and then like he bumps into his classmates on a school trip who are all there. He had to skip the school trip to Cairo, and he's like, you're not going to Cairo, you're going to underneath Cairo to this Nazi bunker or whatever.
Yeah.
They're coming back. And then he would bump into them, so you could still like have that kind of tension and push and pull. Okay. So yeah, I would do, all right, just to take a shot at it, I would do that it is a Russian oligarch. Again, I think actually, like, you know, like, I think in the post 9/11 epic, like, it was like, we can't, like, Britain, where like the terrorism thing was just such an elephant in the room, and it's like kind of like I can see why they steered away from it. But now, like, it's like fucking Putin is literally a Bond villain, right? Like, he is, like, you're back. I mean, like, they basically hacked the U.S. election.
Yeah.
Like, you hear about all this intrigue, and it feels like a Bond movie. And again, like, you hear about these families, these oligarchs in Russia that control everything. So it feels like you could do something with that, and then it would be him coming to Russia.
Absolutely. And I think, and just in terms of the bad guy, like, hopefully we don't get killed by Putin. It is very much like, because Putin's connected to ISIS, he's connected, and again, they have it written down. Their purpose is to destabilize Western civilization.
Yes,
I hate using the term Western civilization, but the purpose is to destabilize
the West.
NATO. The West.
And, yeah. NATO. Yeah.
Exactly. In fact, I think that's a good, like, he wants to destabilize NATO and the UN and everything. So yes, that's a good, and you can do, and that connects to, again, it connects to ISIS, Syria. Terrorism across the entire Middle East. Like, this is, like, that's what Putin's job is. He was hired by somebody. That's Putin's goal. I was going to say, by the way, thinking what you're saying is, like, maybe if this was a TV series, 'cause I don't know if you could do a whole movie of this, a really good one would be, there is a Russian teenager who is onto the fact that they have this teenage spy. And, of course, like, the fastest way to find out who this teenage spy would be, like, okay, well, who's never at school and stuff like that. So he has to stay in school. Like, he has to go, he has to act like a normal teenager, otherwise they're gonna find out by process elimination who the
know that it's a kid at this school.
Has no real friends, and he has to make friends, otherwise they're gonna point out the kid.
And there's another
loner.
There's another kid at the school hunting him, like,
exactly.
There's another teen spy that's
teen
trying
spy
to find him.
That's
pretty cool,
dude. 12-year-old me would have eaten that shit.
That's pretty dope.
And it's, again, all he wants to do is, like, he's hearing, and then of course they replace him because they still need a teenager out on the field, so there's like,
and they both have same girl to
there's
Tron.
There's 006, essentially. There's like a 006 who's out there doing all the fun stuff. And
I mean,
like,
I would make it a lady
school.
Spy. It's a teenage lady spy.
Ooh. Oh, definitely. It's a Russian. Yeah. And by the way, it's like he totally knows it's her because she speaks with a Russian accent. Just like,
no, a Russian foreign exchange student.
Okay.
Well, that would be the turn, is that obviously it's not the Russian foreign exchange student. This is a sleeper agent who's been here for years and years and years. The Russian foreign exchange student would actually become his Bond girl, essentially, and the two of them would team up.
Okay. I like the – I keep coming back to this idea of him posing as an English tutor to, like, a Russian teenager or something like that.
Okay,
or
so
like
the first movie or the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we talking about this as a – wait, all right. Are we doing a TV show?
It
or
should be a movie. It should be a movie.
It feels like a TV show. Okay, fine. Maybe a little bit.
Like, I know, because like I like that idea. It could not work as a full movie. It could work as an episode for sure.
Which?
The having to pretend to be a normal teenager.
I will – again, it might work as an act in this movie. Yeah. So let's hold on to it.
So does it – so tutor, or is it like he needs to just be friends with this guy? You know what I mean? Like, so tutor puts him in, like, it feels like a little bit of an older sort of, you know, to a younger person relationship already. Whereas, mm-hmm. like, if it's just like, he's really into EDM, brush up on your dead mouse, Bond, you're going to Siberia.
You brush know, up
like,
on your dead mouth five.
Or, you know what I mean? So it's like.
That's true. No, I mean, because, yeah, it could just be like, you're social, go be social and befriend this person.
Yeah, right.
Right? So it's
like,
befriend Russian oligarch's kid.
And he's, you know, maybe he's a little unhinged, and, you know, he's, you have your, you know, your Russian club scene, and he's got to, like, figure out the way behind the velvet curtain, you know,
again, the
you know,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, he has to go to the club, and yeah, it's in the VIP area. How's he gonna get into the VIP area?
Q gives him a USB drive. He's like, Bond, on this USB drive are the fattest beats. You need to get behind the DJ tables and
drop these beats to get them all. Yeah, it's his cue should just be Deadmau5. His cue is QJ, and he's a fucking, like, I don't know, EDM bro.
Oh my god, are you talking about in terms of EDM as a teenager? It's like they constantly give him fake IDs.
Yeah,
like it's like okay,
oh no, he's got a fake ID that it can change. You
oh
tap
god,
it and all the information
wants.
Changes. Like you can put anything
god.
You want. It's that's, like psychic paper, yeah. But yeah, it's like it can.
The ultimate
really,
fake ID.
That's really good.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Right, like the idea, but you know, that's what I mean. It's like the idea shouldn't be like, because right, like traditional Bond.
He definitely
would be
like, has a go bag like in a false bottom of his locker
yeah,
at school
yeah.
with
oh,
like
yeah.
fucking stack of money and fake IDs. It's not a gun because that's
yeah.
Okay.
He always wants, it should always be, he always wants, if you want to do a thing, it's like every time he sees, like, of course, it's like he meets the Russian oligarch kid and they have a gun, and he's like, oh, I never get,
you know what you
I
could do? You could do, if we wanted to do this thing as your first movie or whatever, you could do that, like, your opening, because it always starts with the Bond opening
of course,
sequence
of
or whatever,
course.
And you start with the end of the Russian oligarch adventure, and then you're in sight, and then he comes back to normal high school,
yeah.
Bond, welcome back to normal high. And then you would do that. Your inciting incident could be that someone has made him, and he's got to stay undercover at the
high
school.
That's a good like. That's a good conceit for like the first movie.
Yeah,
it plays into the teen stuff.
Yeah, you're essentially more. Introducing the conceit of teenage Bond with this opening mission, right? Like it's at the club. There's the handoff, and then it turns into this debonair adventure.
So what I would imagine is, and one of the things that like. A lot of Bond teasers don't have anything to do with the rest of the story. It'd be nice if it had, like, again, like, as bad as Day, Die Another Day is, like, I like that, like, the North Korean story kind of leads into the next one. So if you did something like, yes, he's on this Russian oligarch adventure, it should be something he does in that teaser. Like, you may not even notice it. Is just enough that they get a whiff of, they're like, this is a teenager in the UK. And because of what he did on that adventure, they're like, they've sniffed you out.
Yeah.
There is somebody who's coming to infiltrate. You can't be discovered. You need to pretend to be a normal teenager. Because then, of course, by the end of the movie, it's like he's going back on his like Bond adventure. But I like
that's
the
cool,
too, because
you could do that. They actually, it's not that he's, now he just has to go to this new high school.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not that he's normally in high school or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
He's been like just like being trained by assassins
yeah, exactly.
and stuff
yeah,
since
yeah,
he
yeah.
was 12. And now it's like, you got to go fucking hang out in a normal
high
school.
Oh, that's great. It's like he's never been to high school, so he's like...
Yeah. He's always like on party yachts
God,
and stuff like
that.
Could
you imagine like going to high school and being like, I can do everything? And it's like all these kids are like, whoa, you have a fake ID? It's like, yes.
Okay, so yeah, he's got to deal with the fact that, yes, and then the tough thing is like MI6 got to hold down this spy who's never been to high school.
And
now he's
And he's the fucking coolest
into-
dude alive.
And he's realizing he's essentially a child soldier his whole life. But who cares?
Yeah, okay. It's James Bond in The Spy Who Came In Late to Class.
Oh, he definitely comes into late to class for his first time.
Maybe that's not it. I don't know. Let's just keep going with it. We're 40 minutes in. We gotta keep going.
Okay.
Okay.
So
all right. So act one then is
he stole he stole evidence. It's a ski sequence in Russia where he stole evidence of them hacking Western elections.
Or it's he got some MacGuffin that needs to be deciphered.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
Like he got this codex or something like that. And
from the private servers off of the Russian oligarch's yacht in the Dead Sea. Yes, so cool.
Oh yeah, he was at like a teen party, like on a yacht.
Exactly.
Yeah, on Daddy's yacht.
Daddy's yacht.
Oh man, this is so dumb.
And he escapes on a
Gets blown, and yeah, these the guys' goons and the oligarch. Yeah. It would be like he's about to leave, and then he sees the guy or the guy's shitty son like taking advantage of a girl or something like that, or like you know like. He's like, you know, like he's roofied some girl and she's he's like got her up in his bedroom or whatever. And like Bond could escape and save the mission, but instead he comes in and beats the shit out of
him. And of course, MI6 talks him. He's like, Bond, you're not there to be a nice guy. You're there to be a spy. Damn it,
Bond. 007.
007, full country. So then he's like,
you're still 005. You haven't gotten promoted to 007 yet.
I like making 007 just like lame. It's like he's still in the single digits. Like he's just like you're not. Anyways, no, that's dumb. Okay, so
it would be
100
like
100 emoji of Agent 100 emoji here.
Okay, so he
Russian oligarch yacht steals MacGuffin, the MacGuffin device.
Yes.
What does it do? What is its meaning? The Russians are trying to retrieve it. Okay, so it steals MacGuffin, but blows cover. Doing good guy thing.
It's a device that allows them to artificially fuck with every election.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it breaks into every single election machine in even paper.
Even paper.
This device can even
hack
paper
records. My God.
Yeah, so with this, Russia will be, yes, that's a good. Is Russia will be able to hack every election?
You do
untraceable.
You do. It's also in the middle of like a Brexit type scenario in Britain. So there's a big election coming up in Britain.
Yes.
And then, by the way, you totally do. Bond gets swept up into the normal high school thing of like a kid in his school is trying to run for president, like for student body president. And he's like, Bond winds up becoming the campaign manager for like this dweeb kid who's running for school president. And then the kid's going to lose because the other guy's a total asshole. And then Bond uses this super hacking device to make the kid president of the school at the end. And that's like his little rogue move. They're like, what did you do with the device? He's like, I put it to good use. And it's like, and dweeby McDingus is the school president.
Dweeby McDingus.
It's like, Bond, people really like me. And because Bond knew the kid needed this shot of self-esteem or whatever. And he's like, and he just puts it like, and he just throws this like fucking super dangerous MacGuffin like just into his locker next to his fucking Star Wars lunchbox. He's like, I think I'm going to like it here. Yeah.
By the way, you can vote in local elections, it looks like. Not the parliament, but you can vote in local elections when you're 16. So it should be after like the last little teaser is like, Bond, you've done a lot for this country, but today you have to do something more important than anything. He's like, "What? I'm done." He's like, "Go vote." And then the last thing is Bond votes, and he has an "I voted" sticker. He looks at the camera and winks. He didn't vote in his first election. He's like, "I'm a spy. I already do enough. I don't have to vote." he's a teen. And
the moral is that voting is cool.
Yes, because this is about them hacking the voting election. Bond learns that voting's important. So that's the little end. Rather than
and Bond's
fucking
like,
a
you can be a teenage super spy by exercising your right to vote.
No, here's our pitch for Teen Bond. Rather than fucking a girl at the end, he votes. That's a cool
It just
Bond.
Ends with Bond's being up like, listen up, UK teens, your super secret mission, if you choose to accept it, is of vital importance to democracy.
Vote in local elections. Okay.
First, you must do your intel and research your ballot measures.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, that's
Get
so good.
Get all the dirt on your representatives.
Yes, that is definitely like then during the credits. During the credits, it is Bond telling you your secret mission, if you choose to accept, which is Mission Impossible, is to do your intel and figure out who to vote for. That's
okay.
Very good.
All right, this is dope. All right,
okay.
I'm on board. I'm on board.
It had to be a little bit lame.
It had to be a little lame for me to get on board.
Okay.
Should we use lame? Is that ableist? I think I keep hearing that you're not supposed to say
lame.
I
don't know.
Okay.
Well, we just lost another 20 users.
We'll put that in the woke jar and try to steer away from lame in the future. Okay. Okay, Russian oligarch yacht steals MacGuffin but blows up cover doing good guy thing. Act 2. Guess what, asshole? You gotta go to high school. You blew your cover.
Like, it's gotta be a thing where it's like he blows his cover, but like either the boat sinks or like he erases the tapes of his face, but they've got like a bit of whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Because if the Russian oligarch kid knows what he looks like.
Yeah, but he doesn't. It's got to be. I don't know. I'm trying to. Because again, it would be like he gets onto the boat posing as like undercover person. He's not like, hello, I'm James Bond from the UK or whatever. Yeah. Like he's like,
a cool Russian teen. He's got a Russian accent.
Yeah, he's got a Russian
accent.
He's got
like bleach blonde hair.
Oh yeah. You can't even recognize.
And then
James
his
Bond.
Wig comes off in the fight
yes.
scene. Yeah.
Yes. And then he goes off on a jet ski in icy cold waters.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. And he jumps off a waterfall.
That's not how the Dead Sea works.
But. Oh my God, that's a good sequence. No, I don't know about that. The yacht is heading towards a waterfall during this freaking teaser, and he freaking flies off this falling.
Jumping a jet ski over a waterfall is a pretty good opening.
Yeah, so some cool teaser in a freezing cold lake with a waterfall on a party yacht with a bunch of
party yacht in freezing cold water.
Your dad sucks. This party also sucks.
Everybody's just sitting there freezing.
Okay, guess what? You blew your cover. Now you've got to go to normal high school.
Yes. Okay, so he did not, so to clarify, he's not gone, he wasn't in high school before.
No, he was his whole life he's been out of it because he's been training how to, like, you know,
oh,
do
you know what
flips
also be?
Shit.
Is in, this is the, this, okay, well, now it is kind of an origin story. It is, it's like at the end, it's like he tells MI6, of course he wants to keep doing this, but he also wants to stay in normal high school. Because he has such a good experience there. So now you set up this the whole life. It's like, look, if I'm going to keep doing Bonds, because he meets McDweebus, whoever that he wins the election.
Who ends up being his Q?
Straight up. Holy shit. He ends up
McDweebus at school helps him decipher the MacGuffin or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's he's like,
the
he's
McDweebus
like, look,
device.
Look, I'll continue to take down the enemies of Western democracy, but I'm staying in high school.
Yeah. Like, I'm staying enrolled in normal high.
Okay. It's very good.
Okay. Guess what? You blew your cover now. You got to go to normal high school struggling to fit in as a normal kid. I actually think you could do that. He's been at normal high school, but he hasn't befriended any. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think is better?
New to it.
The only thing I like him deciding. If you give this an arc, I like him deciding. It's like, of course, like this James Bond tells you it's important to vote and it's important to go to high school. I very much enjoy that.
Okay. I'm trying to. All right. Let's. Because I'm trying.
I have no problem with either way. There's definitely some stuff I liked about him going to high school. He's just never there, so he doesn't have any friends.
Yeah. No. I like him going to the new school. Yeah. What is his? Okay. So he comes into the second. I mean, it's just like here's my only problem right now. Is it feels like after that cool open, you've just got like now you've got to go to normal high school, and then it's like his goal is now to just be normal. Like, what is his dramatic want?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So I think
bear with me.
Yeah.
But. What if, rather than doing your cover got blown, what if it's like the next step of the job is like we've tracked, like the MacGuffin you got pointed us to this crooked headmaster in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to high school, Bond.
Yeah.
Like we're setting you up in this high school. Okay. And then he's trying to, and then meanwhile, unbeknownst to him, a Russian spy has figured out who he is, and then they activate their agent in the high school or whatever. Something
I like
that.
I like crooked headmaster.
They tell the crooked headmaster, like, hey, watch out for this kid, and then he gets a fax, and it's like, that's that new brash upstart, Mr. 007, who, you know, started a food fight in the cafeteria and surfed down the hill on a lunch tray.
I like the idea that there's this crooked headmaster and there's another foreign exchange student that just showed up who's Russian and is like, of course this is the spy. And then that would be like the first fight. And then
he doesn't know it yet. There's already an agent from Russia at the high school.
Yeah.
She's there to keep tabs on the headmaster.
Yeah.
She's been there the whole time. And her job is to fucking ice the headmaster if he goes rogue or something like that.
Oh, and she defects.
Yeah.
That would be like again, you need like the good, because the different Bond girls, there's like, is gross, but there's like the virginal Bond girl, the Bond girl who just joins along Bond.
This is the creepiest entry in Matt's 12-year-old.
But there's like three types of Bond.
There's like the genus of Bond girls.
And you want to, there's like three types of Bond girls, and then there's the bad, there's the Xenia, there's the crazy, and then there's the double agent. The best one's the double
agent.
It's the Spy Love Me, is because it's the only one that has real agency.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. So I like that she has this thing, and she realizes, right, it's her coming to the conclusion that like Russia's bad.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Well, and again, once he finds out that she's the same as he is, you know, their governments are fucked up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he's like, the only real way to change things is to vote.
Yes.
is through democracy.
You know, of course she has to leave because he doesn't have a girlfriend in high school, but what it is she's going back as a double agent, and then he's always worried about her, and then you have this cool character in Russia who's doing double agent-y stuff in Russia.
Oh, yeah, and then she can show up later in the other movies.
Double agent girl Bond in Russia doing the real dangerous shit.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's call her.
Oh, plus you totally do the end of the movie. He thinks they're going to finally bone down. But then he gets there and there's the note with the lipstick on it. And and the champagne. And she's like, catch you next time, 007.
Next time when you're of a safe age to experience sexual relations. Which,
when you're ready to get married in the name of Christ.
Ask your parents what age that is. It is not up to us, the filmmakers, to say what age is appropriate for you to have sex. God depends on how your parents swing.
So. It's a lot about your parents and like you and like it's and them. And it's
like when you're ready. When you're ready. Bond's not ready. We're not judging anybody who's ready. Bond's not ready to have sex at the end of this movie.
This is like 40-page note. He just sits there reading it in voiceover for 20 minutes of screen time.
I'm just more confused now than ever before.
Then you do the end. They're like, where's 007? And then they just catch him masturbating.
Just cranking his
God, am I sick? God, oh, M, don't you knock? Jeez.
That would be such a good subversion. It's M walking in on Bond. They have the tracking device. We're like, where's Bond right now? And they have the overhead shot. Like, wait, what is he doing? It's just him.
No, because it's like she's like, sorry, I couldn't stay for our date. Here's something that tied you over. And like she sent him like a sexy like,
Snapchat,
and he's like, ooh.
That is very good. I'm a big fan.
Bond, what's going on? Your heart rate is elevated.
Yes, I'm a big fan of McDweebus Q being like, wait, where's Bond right now? And tracking him on an overhead satellite or something as Bond wanking.
Bond totally unashamed when he just got.
He just looks up and gives like a
slam. Close the door, mind you.
Okay. So I really love all the end. I love the beginning, and I love the end. I love telling kids to vote. I love Bond. I love this girl becoming a double agent. Off in Russia, and he's got this cool girl Bond who's like now going to be a sidekick we can throw. And it's kind of like oh my God, how do I not? What's the guy who's in a lot of the Bonds? He's in Goldeneye actually. The American.
Felix.
Felix. She's cooler than Felix now. She's like this cool Russian double agent that he can use. Or partner up with
Bond. Throughout. Are you in a relationship? It's complicated.
And yes, him masturbating at the end is very funny.
Oh my God.
So he goes home. The MacGuffin leads to headmaster at fancy UK prep school.
Yes. Oh, it's a super fancy prep school because it would be the headmaster, like the kids that are there are like the kids of like the top members of parliament and
the prime minister
and et cetera. So that's why he's there. I mean, that's the purpose of being at this school is like he gets a connection to the kids.
Act 2 is infiltrating high school.
Oh, he's already fish out of
the
water.
This new headmaster is throwing a party for all the top students' parents. Which are all the prime minister and various.
So the first thing Bond has to do is ace that test and get his GPA.
Yes,
high
exactly. So that he's invited. Oh, then of course M is his mom. Like of course then he needs
M
parents.
M stands for mom.
Yeah. Oh, he needs his parent. He needs parents to go to this party.
That's so good. That's so very very good. Yeah, no, he's throwing this. Yeah. There's a party for like again. It's like you have for like the school's top achievers or something. I was like, he has to get onto the academic decathlon team. Yeah. But yeah, like so your second act is like he's in. Training high school has to perform,
which is why he needs to team up with McDweebus, because he's smart. So he's actually tutoring Bond. And then of course Bond just wants to use gadgets and shit to cheat.
Yeah,
because it's like America. This is for Western democracy. I have to ace this test to get to this party.
He's
like, well, you can do it. You work hard, Bond. That's how you do it. Learn your maths. And he's like, no, he wants to cheat. Okay, so
has to perform high school feat of academic.
Must be good at high school.
It's to get into fancy party. Befriends McDweebus.
And this is where he would find, this party is where he would, I think this is like right the middle point, like the big first.
There's a twist.
Well, at the party, he's got to break into the principal's office.
Yes.
Again, this now you're talking teenage fantasy, right, man?
Yeah.
Exactly.
We should go in the teacher's lounge and drink their sodas.
That was what you cared about?
Yeah, I always wanted to go to the teacher's lounge.
To go to the teacher's lounge. I was like, what's in there?
Yeah, what's in there? What are the adults doing?
As an adult now, could you fucking imagine being a teacher and you deal with these kids all day and one of those fucking idiots like waltzes in your teacher's lounge? Like, I would flip out.
This is my space. I deal with you shit all
okay,
day.
So he befriends McDweebus, infiltrates. Oh, you know what you could do is it's also the classic, like, he thinks it's the dean, but then it turns out to be the cool math teacher or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
They
don't know who it is.
I was going to say this party here. In terms of plot, this is the party where the Russian girl shows up in a nice dress, and this is their first, like, conflict with each other. Like, she's also breaking in
figuring
it out, or she catches on to Bond. They have their first fights, and then they end up realizing they're going to work together because she's, like, beginning to question her mission, as it were, Russia.
He discovers the true identity of the UK bad guy.
Oh, Bond has to get bullied, and he can't do anything about it because it's like, that'll blow your cover. Like, you cannot use your dope Krav Maga
move.
Because
it's not posh.
Yeah,
because he's already fish out of water. He doesn't have,
This also how he becomes posh, because he's got...
He becomes fancy, sophisticated.
And, of course, the Russian girl knows how to be a fancy, sophisticated.
She's a fancy, sophisticated.
Just
to teach him the foxtrot or
whatever. Yeah, so Dweebus teaches him how to do good maths, and then the Russian girl teaches him how to be a sophisticated.
Dweebus teaches him how to be a good student. She teaches him how to be a gentleman.
Oh, shit. Okay, these are very good. Yeah. Okay, so then
3 minutes left.
Bond stuff happens.
So then Bond stuff happens. Okay, so no, but you work through it. It's like, oh, shit, he figures out. Again, he discovers his first major clue. He figures out who's really pulling the strings, right? Like, that's your sort of midpoint twist. You have this, again, like it's like in Mask of Zorro when he goes to the dance and then he gets into the back room with Don Diego. The bad guy. And he finds out the plan to take over California. You would do, like, he discovers the real bad guy, and then it's like, oh, shit, I know what the bad guy's up to, which is, I guess, to influence this big boat.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, there's this ticking clock, the end of the... like the midpoint, the second, third act is then there's a big election coming, and they realize they're hacking this election, and this election has some
everyone
big
at the school is getting iPads. All of them, and they've all got malware on them that are gonna fucking cause anarchy on election day.
Well, because they're gonna walk in. Yes, they're gonna, because those kids are gonna be, you know, with their parents.
Yes,
for photo shoots at all these voting machines, right? Because they always do the photo shoot, like, I voted, you know, prime minister elect votes, waves, and the kids like, I voted for my dad, and it's like they have iPads that are hacking all this shit.
So they're gonna rig the election. I feel like I want some threat of violence that he's gonna have to stop it. Yeah. But I guess it could just be, again, it's like this vote is going to, if it goes the wrong way, is going to cause global chaos or whatever.
Yeah,
yes,
there's some Brexit type vote. It's some, like, the person who could win is
they're hacking the, and I like that he's a teenager, the stakes are a little smaller, but then you would do, like, he's got, the bad guy has the server room where he's going to be uploading this virus from, and Bond and the girl have to stop it, right?
And to try and get to, like, Bond action scene, I think essentially the climax would be very much like him and Russian girl are driving through the streets of London during election day in this brutal, crazy car chase against cops and Russians and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And you would end it at some, like, satellite tower or something where the election's going to be ultimately hacked so you can get some big, you know,
set piece with the tower tipping over and whatnot.
Yeah. And they stop. They stop the hacking election. Then Russian girl, which I hate that we keep calling her Russian girl, has to go back to Russia. They have the sweet moment where he's gonna go kiss her goodbye.
He totally helps the kid win the election.
Bond
and the dweeb. And Dweeb Q doppelganger or best buds.
Yes.
And he's like, all right, I'll stay working for you, MI6, but I'm staying in high school.
Yeah. They give him a talking to. He's like, you hacked an election yourself, Bond. He's like, yeah, Dweebus was good for the school. She's like, be careful, Bond. You're riding a thin line.
No. It's totally like, what? We never found out what happened to that device.
It
got destroyed in the explosion.
Yes.
And then the next day, he's like, Bond, I won the election. Everyone's like, how did he win the election? And Bond's like,
I like this darkness that Bond
and
is
he just has it now. He just
great.
Has this
I
thing,
love
yeah.
that Bond hacks it. Election at
yeah,
the
and
end.
He's just a punk, like, because he's like, yeah, fuck
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, Steve, and then he's gonna say goodbye to her, and then she's left him a letter being like, I'm working for the UK to take down Russia.
Yeah.
He's like, damn, she's doing a dangerous job. I wish I could have kissed her goodbye, but then she gives him a Snapchat of her, like, getting on a plane, and she, like, gives him a wink, and he's like, and then Dweeb is like, hey, Em, where's Bun? He's like, let me track him down, and then he's wanking it.
And that's an hour on the dot right there.
That's good.
A fun move. You know what my favorite thing in the world is Em posing as his mom.
Yeah, at this point.
And then male M posing as his dad. And then these two stuffy spies who've fucking murdered hundreds of people each and done drone strikes are, like, trying to pretend to be normal parents to James Bond.
That's very good.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
That was a tough one, but I think we came out the other side.
We did.
Bond.
I was worried there for a second.
Teen Bond. Well, as I understand, there's some... first of all, I want to just point
congratulate us on our good Teen Bond. I agree.
Well, congratulations, good Teen Bond.
We all did good.
I wanted to just point out, Will found this the other day, the kind folks over at Disney clearly heard our Last Jedi podcast.
We got some great fan art this week. One, first of all, the my favorite fan art this week was from Wesley Regan at Ha Ridge Jr. on Twitter. The new story break was great. You guys should do more episodes based on this one that you have, movies that have yet to be released. And this is a very good Star Wars The Last Jedi trailer with JJ and Kylo Ren in the background. And then I love Poe and Finn. I was like, and John Boyega poking out from the side. Great job. We also got some really adorable fan art from someone at Disney. Clearly heard our episode and then decided to release this very good poster for The Last Jedi.
Yeah, they put Leia front and center, which we didn't really talk about.
I didn't see this
on it, but
we're just talking about the actual Last Jedi poster.
Oh,
we're being glad.
I was out of the joke, guys.
My head canon, it is definitely they heard our podcast and decided to release.
Like, you know what? This poster, they nailed it. We got to put this poster out. They even put a trailer. Do you see that?
They cut a fan trailer for our movie. Yeah.
Yeah, they got some really good looking lookalikes for that fan trailer. Getting a lot of views on YouTube.
Yeah.
Doing pretty well. Got any reviews?
We are
up to 100.
We just got our 100th review on iTunes. Opa. So thank you to everyone who has given in, who has written in to give some feedback. It helps us out a lot.
I'll just say the names. Ty Powers 8, Just Patrick, cool name, D Rex 13, Coke Zero 360. I didn't even see that, dude. I just quick Coke Zero update. I found a Coke Zero at a gas station.
Yeah.
Had it.
Yeah.
It's as good as I remember. Yeah. And Coke Zero sugar sucks.
That's the next James Bond movie, is they try to take away Coke Zero.
Oh my god.
He's gotta bring it back. Anyway.
Thank you, everybody, for those 5-star reviews. They make us feel great.
You just did two names and then
I did like five. Coke Zero, D Rex, Just Patrick, Ty Powers, Reldneck 98, Zeltisma, and Kipoid. I don't know how to pronounce that. Xipoid.
Thank you very much, everybody, for your reviews. As you know, we being just junkies of information are reading and taking to heart everything
and
you say. And affirmation mostly on the iTunes. So if you enjoy what you're hearing, go ahead and head on over to iTunes and leave a review for us. It's very helpful. Thanks very much to everybody following our Twitter at RJ Storybreak and hitting us up with posters and tweets like that. All, again, stuff that we very much enjoy reading, and we thank you all for enjoying and passing along and listening to this podcast. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up for us this week. Any final thoughts, Will? I'm trying the new thing. Oh, there it is.
Story Break will return in Hot Taker.
In Hot Taker.
Oh, we didn't come up with a name.
Oh, shit. Tweet.
That's
now. All right, let's put that one to the fans.
Yep.
What's the name of the James Bond movie?
Shit, yeah. We should
Team James Bond. We need all our Teen Story Break fans to come up with a
cool Bond name.
At RJ Story Break on Twitter for that.
Extra points if it starts with a hashtag.
So until next week, we're going to take a little bit of a break from breaking stories. Yeah? No? I don't know.
Six out of ten.
We have also, but real quick, we have some very cool stuff that we will be announcing very soon. So I'm just going to leave you with that little teaser. All right. See you later, everybody. Bye.
Bye.